join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
Today to bring the Word of God, if you have your Bibles, open up with me to Philippians chapter 2. My favorite book of the entire Bible is Philippians. Why? Probably because it's real small. You're asked, well, maybe you should read Jude. It's only one chapter. But I love Philippians. It's just packed with just practical things that will better your life because of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I'm in place of our pastor. He's on vacation. Today he and Dina got to go away from Friday, and they're coming back Friday. They'll be back Sunday, unless they're having a great time and they'll just keep going. But I'm so glad that our pastors are getting recharged and re-energized. And so pray for them. Continue to pray for them as they're on a little sabbatical and a little vacation. But I want to bring the Word, and I'm not going to be the guest speaker today. The Word of God is. I believe that the Word of God does not need any opinion from man. It can speak for itself. Amen? So let's pray and ask God to open up our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it is sharper than any double-edged sword. God, that it can penetrate our own lives. God, it can penetrate our hearts. And God, it can change us. Father, I pray that we look intently. God, I pray that we would look into this mirror, and God, it would show us our imperfections. God, that it would show us where we're missing it. Father God, not to get us down, but God, to lift us up. I prayed in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Before we get into Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, I'd like to say thank you, everyone who prayed for my son. He went into the hospital on Monday for a routine checkup. He's been dealing with some bacteria that's really potent, and we had to be in there 8 days, May to June, and we were expecting another week back in that hospital, and we had prepared. We had the blankets and the pillows, and we were ready for a week of you know what. I know Amy works on the floor, but it's not that cool of a place, the hospital. And, man, yes. But glory to God, got his CAT scan back, and things were looking better. The doctor said, you know what, y'all don't need to stay. Y'all go on home. And so, praise God, things are turning up. I know it. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others. Everybody say others. Consider others better than yourselves. Now, I know that's hard for some because you have a good opinion about yourself. But the Bible here is saying consider others better than yourself. It doesn't mean that you have a downcast mentality. It doesn't mean you have to be Debbie Downer. But it says you need to consider others. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. This is where it gets real. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you have kids in the house? Yeah, awesome. How many of you have ever had the conversation with your kids about having the right attitude? Who has had that conversation this week? That's good. Awesome. Me too. Because I was preparing for this today, I went ahead and had it with my kids because it was fresh on my mind. Peyton had come home from Nani's. And how many of you know when grandkids go to grandparents' houses, they come home different? Can I get an amen? Well, that is grandparents' job to spoil kids. It is. I know that Pastor Fowler has always said, look, when you are a parent, you sweat the little things that really don't make a hill of beans. And when you get to grandparent level, you understand all the things that don't mean a hill of beans. So let us do our job and you do yours, and it'll all fix itself out in the end. Well, we had a little adjustment to take place today, and we had to talk about attitude. What is attitude? That's the question tonight. What is attitude? The definition that Webster gives is this. It is this, and let me read it so I don't get off my track. the way you think and feel about someone or something. It is a feeling or a way of thinking that affects a person's behavior. Now, let me say this, because you've probably heard it in the church. In Proverbs 23, it says, as a man thinks, so is he. If we think a certain way, what happens is we start to behave that same way. And so you have to decide in your Christian living, what is my attitude going to be like? What is my thought process going to be like? And what it says here in Philippians chapter 2, it says, your attitude should be the same as that as Christ Jesus. Your attitude determines your altitude in life. It determines how high and how successful you will become in life. Your attitude and your attitude alone. Now, I understand that your ability will take you a certain distance, but if you have a bad attitude, it will stop at some point. Can I get an amen? How many of you have ever been around someone that is talented but has a bad attitude? How long do you want to be around that person? Not very long. See, your abilities can take you only so far, but your attitude, even if you are lacking in the ability department, can sky you forward above those that have the ability. Now, attitude, it keeps on going. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself what? Nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, if you see a therefore in Scripture, you got to know what it's there for. And when it says therefore, you got to look back to see why it's there. And so he just humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He became the form of a man and became a servant. Now I want you to imagine with me, Jesus, who is God in the third person, or second, in the Trinity, in heaven, in the form of God, has everything at his feet, still does to this day, decided, I want to go and become one of my creation. I'm going to go and I'm going to become, that's crazy enough, but to the extent that he went into a poor situation, he did not go into a temple. He did not go into a hospital. He went into a manger. He was born in a trough. Our God, the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, decided that I'm going to go down and I'm going to put myself in a poor situation. I'm going to humble myself, and I want you to know that I am doing everything in my power to know what you're going through. See, over the last couple of months, my wife and I, we've been in a situation with my son. Week in and week out, we have to do antibiotics. We have to do six-hour treatments through his PICC line. And how many of you have ever had a summer where you have not been able to swim in Texas? Okay? That has been difficult. My son is an avid swimmer, all right? And we can't swim because of that stupid PICC line. Sorry, excuse me, I use stupid. It's a bad word in my house. So we've had to really check our attitude. And I'm going to be honest with you, reading this week has been very humbling. Because when you get into a situation that's out of your control, when you get into a situation that is beyond you, your knee-jerk reaction is to have a bad attitude. Your thought process, and let me just say this, he has two natures here, the God nature and the human nature, Jesus. We have two natures. It's called the flesh and the spirit. Galatians talks about it. The flesh desires everything opposite from the spirit. The spirit of God that lives inside of us, the fruit of the spirit is what? Yeah, all that. I knew all that. But the spirit and the flesh are always opposing one another. And you and I have that. I don't care how long you've been born again. You still have a flesh nature that rises up in situations, that rises up when life gets hard, that rises up when, let me just say this, when you feel entitled. Entitlement is the greatest enemy of this scripture. And even when I feel entitled from the Word of God, by His stripes, we are healed. How many times have I prayed that? How many times have you prayed that? And there are moments where I feel I'm entitled to this based on the Word of God. So why isn't it happening? And my flesh rises up and my attitude does not look anything like Jesus Christ. So the question is, what's your attitude look like? Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. At that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Now, I love this scripture. How many of you love Philippians chapter 2? How many of you have read this thousands upon thousands of times? It is just one of these scriptures that will knock you between the eyes every single time you read it. And it seems like I read it every time I need to read it. Can I get an amen? So what happens is here, the Apostle Paul is giving some direction. He's saying, do this. He's saying, if you have any encouragement from the Spirit, he's like, if you have anything to be united with Christ, if you've confessed Jesus as Lord, I want you to consider this. If you have any regard for me, I love the fact he says, make my joy complete as a minister of the gospel. You know what's fun? You know what's fun as a pastor? When you preach to someone and you do life with someone and you see them getting it and they start to produce fruit without you like holding their hand, there is something about that. After doing youth ministry for 12 years, that was the greatest joy, to see a sixth grader come in and have no clue about Jesus, experience God in such a powerful way, and by the time they're young adults, they are serving in the church producing fruit. There's no greater joy as a minister to see that. There's no greater joy as a lay minister. We all ministers, doesn't matter if you empowered by the church with a salary or whatever, if you are pouring into someone's life, how great of a joy is it when you see them hitting it? There's no greater joy. I bet there's no greater joy as a parent to see your kids start to live for the Lord. I know my mom, it took 18 years for her to see some fruit. But mom, this is a little studio participation. What's the feeling when I actually got it? All those years that you dragged us off the football field, all those years that you made us go to Wednesday night church, and can I just stop and say, thank God for parents that still make their kids go to church. When I finally got it, what was the feeling like? So she prayed a lot harder for my older brother, though. And if you know my older brother, you know I'm lying. My older brother was perfect. Not really. But I got some dirt on him. Reserving for Facebook. I'll talk to Scott later how to use that. Make my joy complete. Any encouragement from being united with Christ tonight? Any encouragement here in this room from being a Christian? Any comfort from his love? How many of you have ever been comforted by his love? Have you ever been in a situation where you need the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Any fellowship with the Spirit? How many of you have had fellowship with the Spirit this week? Any tenderness and compassion that you've received? All right. Then he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Speaking to the church, he's saying, then I want you to get unified. I want you to be in unity. And for unity to happen, you have to fight for it. It's kind of an oxymoron. For unity to happen, you have to truly fight for peace. You have to fight for unity. How many of you are married? How many of you can attest that to stay in unity in marriage, you got to fight for it. There are a lot of off-ramps for unity. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm speaking from a book that I read about all these off-ramps. If we're going to be honest tonight, and I hope we are, this scripture really challenges me as a husband, more than a believer, more than living my life out in front of everybody, because how many of you know sometimes it's easier to live the Christian life outside of the home than inside of the home? How many of you know sometimes it's easier to love the people you don't know that well than the people that you love really well? To the one that you lay your head next to at night before they start snoring and you go to another room. Y'all laugh because some of y'all are experiencing that. My wife has that problem. She snores way bad. Bless them. But being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, this is something as a church we got to fight for. This is something as believers you have to fight for. Man, you got to fight for it on your job. You got to fight for it in your home. You got to fight for it everywhere you go. The Spirit of God desires for you to walk in unity. Why? Psalms 133 said there's a commanded blessing. How good and how pleasant it is when brothers walk together in harmony. It's like the oil poured on Aaron's head, running down his beard, down his robe, onto his sandals, and going all over, spreading out on your territory. There, that place of unity, there's a commanded blessing. The only way you can have unity, the only way you can have unity is if your attitude is good. Again, marriage. If you have a great thought process, if you are collecting your thoughts in a great nature, in a great moment, with through Christ, through the mind of Christ, some situation is going to arise, and you're going to be able to think the way Christ would think. If you don't have a good attitude, you're going to, like, pop off. I know that y'all have never done that before. But how many of you, your knee-jerk reaction to things coming up against you is to punch quick? If someone comes, our men, someone comes at you, what's your first initial reaction physically? I'm putting my dukes up. I'm ducking and I'm coming at you. And I think that's similar to the way we live our life. Ladies, I don't know, is that different for you? Or you've heard our pastor say, wow, the claws are out. Here, you can have your claw back, right? Well, I'm pretty good with words too. If we're going to be honest, right? Our attitude determines our altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. So he continues on. Be like-minded. Have the same love. Be one in spirit and in purpose. And if Christ is at the center of who we are, then that's the bottom line. That's who we look towards. And everybody of us as believers are looking towards Christ. Then all of our flaws fall off because we're looking at Christ. And if we look at Christ, then we see where we miss it. We look at perfection and know how far we are in Jesus. It pales in comparison to what he's done for us. And therefore, we can look at our brothers and sisters, we can look at our fellow Christ followers, and we can give mercy and compassion and grace because we all are looking at this one figure, Jesus, the head of the body of Christ. And we can say, I'm not all that. I'm not all that. Oh, yeah, I may be able to sing good. Oh, yeah, I may be able to dance good. Oh, I may be, but I'm not all that. And so I'm going to give grace to when people miss it. I'm going to give grace when people fall. Verse 3. We're just going to let the word of God speak tonight. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Do what? Nothing. Out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. that really spoke to me this week. What are the motives behind everything that we do? What's the motive that makes you tick? What's the motive that gets you up in the morning? Is it more money? Is it more power? Is it more prestige? Is it more recognition? You better recognize. Redneckinize. Thank you. Thank you, recognition. I can't even say it still. What drives you? Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Nothing. I used to love it to preach and to hear people say, hey, you did a great job. I used to love that. I still do, right? It's my human nature. So afterwards, even if you didn't think so, you could just say it. It's been a while. I'm really not looking for that. Because when I read the... Because when I read this today, I usually try to bring like stories and all this kind of stuff, but I heard the voice of the Lord say, just read the scripture. I usually don't do this. I just want to read the scripture and talk it through one by one. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. That's hard. That's real hard. That right there, if we could learn to do that day in and day out, I believe our lives would soar above what we could ever hope or imagine. If we lifted others, if we lifted everyone else besides ourselves, I promise you, as we lift, ourselves would be lifted. God would start to put his righteous right hand underneath us as we lift others, and he would lift, and so everybody would be lifted to the altitude if we just had a good attitude. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. It says this, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden and burdened. I'm telling you, I got here Sunday, all right? We had been off on vacation for the last week from 20th to the 27th, so we missed two Sundays. And we were at Disney World. If you weren't here Sunday, I told everybody, that is not the happiest place in the world. It's not. It is awesome. It is truly awesome. But everybody that was leaving on the tram, nobody had a smile on their face. Not one. I was looking. Even the kids were like. And there's a difference between vacation and family trips. Can I get an amen? And that was a great family trip. But we had been dealing, like I told you, with my son. He has this condition called PCD, which is primary ciliar dyskinesia. All right? He has formation of mucus throughout his body, and it just continues to go. And the cilia are the little hair that push the mucus out. Sorry for this this physical lesson. This is kind of gross. But he's been snotty since birth, all right? And so from birth till now, it takes on average about 5 years to diagnose this condition. And there's only about 1,000 known people in the North America area that have this. Lucky us. But we've been battling this, and along that, it's a cesspool for bacteria. And so he has this other terminology that I don't want to just bore you with, but we've been having to do since May, the end of May, medication. So antibiotics. We have three different antibiotics. We have one that's every 6 hours, one that's every 12 hours, one that's every 24 hours, and it's constant round the clock. And I'm telling you, at first we were like, we got this, you know? We got this. We can do this. And it was like Team DeGroot, right? Everybody in, Casey and I were like, yes, we'll help each other in the midnight hour, right? <laughs> attitude was like, yes, Jesus, thank you for giving us this antibiotic before we pray over it. You're like, yes. And, you know, we're putting in the pick line, turn it, and like, Jesus. And we're walking away and we're dancing, right? Yay. And about a week into that, the dancing stopped. The team de gruce stopped. And it was more the paper, rock, scissor approach to who got the 12 o'clock hour. You following me? So we're like, I've been practicing all day. I like practice all day. Like, all right. So we get in bed and we're like, all right, baby, let's go. Boom, boom, boom. And whoever loses goes, all right, best 2 out of 3, right? All right. Boom. 3 out of 5. 4 out of 7. So on and so forth. But the attitude changed. And after 2 months, I'm going to be honest, I'm a pastor on staff at a church. I'm paid to pray. I'm paid to get in the Word, right? My attitude looked nothing like Jesus Christ. In the midnight hour, I'd walk up them steps, God, why? 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 You have the ability. It's in your right hand. It's in your right pinky. It's in your right fingernail, if you even have fingernails. Why? And I could just hear myself grumbling, complaining about getting up. My son's alive. He still runs around like a crazy maniac. Ain't no pick line to stop him. Disney World, dude, he was dragging us around. I wasn't praising God about that. Just complaining about the situation I was in. Then Sunday came. Man, Sunday can change everything. Can I get an amen? And it ain't Sunday, it's the presence of God. And Dylan, Pastor Dylan, who's our youth pastor, and I love Pastor Dylan. How many of you just love Pastor Dylan? Dude, I'm telling you, 22 years of age, and he is just, man, he's beyond 22 years. Dude, we are, man, I love the guy. And he said, I don't even remember what he said, but he said, you're focused on your situation. He's like, we just need to focus on how good God is. We were singing that song. What was the song? Anybody remember? What is it called? You Are Good. You are good. You are good. And y'all are bad. I'm joking. And then it goes into that bridge. Your mercy, the kindness is forever. Where is the praise team when you need them? Help a brother out. You know what I'm saying, man? Gosh, I'm struggling up here. Just straight stone face, huh? Shay? Come on. Kayslet? Just quietly. Yeah, needs a mic. Gotta have a mic. But your mercy is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your kindness is forever. And I was just compelled to go up, and truly, I started just saying it by faith. How many of you been there? Because when he said, some of you in here today do not believe those words. Pastor Fowler always said, God's in a good mood. God has a smile. Well, I didn't. I hadn't had one in quite some time. And so he said that, and I was like, oh, man, that's me. And so I remember lifting my hands, and they felt like 400 pounds apiece. How many of you ever been there? How many of you ever done that? And the moment my hands got up and I started to just cry out to the Lord and speak those words, your mercy is forever, your kindness is forever, your goodness is forever, you are good, you are good. There was like this weight that just fell off. And I felt light. And I've put on some pounds. You know what I feel? You know how I feel. Me and Scott have a great relationship. I love you. I love you too, Kendall. Not that we put you in the group. That's not, I'm not trying to put you in that group. I love Wednesday nights. This is great. I never want to preach again on Sunday. Let's just do Wednesdays. Where was I? I'm done. Let's pray. I felt that weight go. And my attitude, the definition says, the way you think or feel about someone or something. Can I just put someone in here as God? The way I felt about God changed. It changed. In a moment, changed. And my attitude changed completely. And I felt good again. And it was as if the health in my body, where I felt like a burst of energy. And when I walked into church at 9 o'clock, it was a whole different feeling when I walked in 10:45. How many of you have been there before? How many of you may be there right now? Don't say anything. But I had to change my attitude. Jesus always looked to the Father. He always looked. I don't do anything on my own. I look to my Father. My Father and I are what? One. There was a unity. There was a unity there that he had to fight for day in and day out. It says that's why he often withdrew to a lonely place to go be prayed with or go pray with God. Are you following me? It's he had to fight for that unity in his life. He had to fight to have the right attitude. How many of you remember in the story where the young woman was thrown at his feet, caught in the act of adultery? And who threw him at their feet? The Pharisees. Who did Jesus always have conflict with? Pharisees. I know Jesus in his heart was like, the human nature of Jesus was like, dude, I'm about to rip y'all apart. He was the Pharisee, the church folk of that time, were the only people that got under Jesus' skin. He hated the religious side of things. He walked into the temple one day, they made it, you know, they're selling this, they're selling that. What did he do? He made cords. He made a whip. Dude, don't tell me my Jesus is little and scrawny and weenie-like. I'm telling you, dude, he's big, he's bad, he's awesome. Dude, he got this righteous indignation, and he started just beating people out of there. You will respect my Father's house. And so, you remember the story? What did he do? He knelt down. He knelt down. And it says he drew in the sand. Nobody knows what he drew, what was drawn into the sand. But I believe this. He paused so that he would have the right attitude in that moment. He gathered his thoughts. As a man thinks, so is he. The behavior that follows your thought is important, okay? Your thought before that behavior is the reason why you act out the way you act out. You following me? And so he kneels down. I bet his initial reaction was like, dude, I'm about to go Bruce Lee up in here. So he pauses. How many of us could learn from that in our marriage, in our parenting? Ooh, that hurt. Can I get amen from parents with small kids? In our job with other believers? If we paused to get a right attitude. I don't know if there's sand boxes in your house, but maybe the next time something gets in your craw, you go out into that sandbox and just draw a little bit and ask God for the right attitude. Because when he got up, what did he do? He didn't accuse anybody of anything. His words didn't come back in a combative way, but it was. He just asked a question. Yeah, you, if you don't have any sin, go ahead. You throw the first stone. Dude, it just diffused the whole situation. And one by one, those rocks were dropped. And God, I want the same attitude of Jesus Christ. You're heavy laden, you're burdened. Come to me. Remember Jesus said, come to me. I'm lowly in heart. I'm humble in heart. At the core of who I am is humility. At the core of my being, Jesus is saying, I'm humble, I'm lowly, and come to me. Man, I want to be that same breath of Christ that says, hey, world, League City, come to me. Come to me if you're weary. Come to me if you're hurting. As a church, come to Dominion Church. Man, I love the fact that we are out in our community. I love the fact that we're in our schools. I love the fact that we're doing mentorship programs, not just within the four walls of this church, but in the community. I love the fact that we're getting out there and we're making a name for ourselves, not for Dominion Church, but for Jesus. And when people think of Dominion Church, they think of Jesus. They think, man, those people really care about our needs. It didn't matter. I love the fact that we're in Clearview High School. And on a monthly basis, we go there, and we have about 16 to 17 at-risk kids, a lot of them homeless, a lot of them no influence, a lot of them struggling. Dude, you go to that small group, and there's a lot of language that's flowery, right? And if we're so like, oh, God, you can't say that, we would just, they wouldn't walk back in. But I'm telling you, there's been some things said, and I'm like, well, let's move right along. Good perspective, right? Love it. Our attitude. It's got to be that of Jesus Christ. He's God. And he lowered himself to become one of his own creations. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He became obedient to law. The law said you're going to be crucified. He became obedient to it. You remember in the Gospels where he says, look, I have the power to lay down my life. And I have the power to raise it. But he laid it down. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. When's the last time we became obedient to death? We died to ourselves. And that flesh and that same fleshly nature that comes up every time we're faced, when's the last time we took a sword to it? When's the last time we just punched it in the face? When's the last time we allowed the fruit of the Spirit to be the main thing in our life? When's the last time we got alone in a lonely place, withdrew from this world, from this place, and just got with our Heavenly Father? For me, it had been a while. And in a moment, an attitude adjustment, change an entire perspective. And amazing that we go into a hospital. I called Amy, my wife, and I texted her and said, hey, looks like we're going to be here all week. You better bring us some food. She makes good enchiladas if you need some. Everybody's like, whoa. We get a call on Tuesday. So we stayed there Monday, and how many of you have ever been admitted into a hospital? How many of you know nothing happens the first day? Gosh. I had to fight with some CAT scan people. Boom. Had to pull the cords out like Jesus. I didn't. My wife reminded, as she was leaving, she had to go back home that night she said, remember, you're a pastor. I said, I'm a dad first. Oh, I ain't even going to go into that. Unity doesn't happen by accident. It takes attitude adjustment. You got to consider others better than yourself. You have to give up your rights. I think as I close tonight, Jesus gave up his godly rights. He gave up that divine nature and said, I'm going to become one of my own. And he walked in my shoes. He felt my pain. He felt the situation I'm going through right now. He felt the situation that you're going through right now. He's felt. And he knows how you feel. He did that so that he can serve as our high priest. And we can go to him anytime we want. And he's right there interceding on our behalf. See, but he gave up those rights. And therefore, God exalted him. So I think in our life, in our living here on this earth, we have to decide, I'm going to give up my rights. I'm going to give up my rights. I'm going to give up my rights in my marriage. I'm going to give them up. I'm even going to give up my roles. How many of you have roles in marriage? You want me to explain that? Let me explain that a little bit. How many of you like are dish people? Anybody do dishes? Like dishmen? Any dishmen? Yep, me and Gabe. Boom. How many do the laundry? Like you do laundry. Oh, Gabe, got laundry too? How many of you are vacuum people? Gabe? Nope. I'm joking. You know what happens? I'm a dish guy. I'm the kitchen guy. All right, the kitchen is my responsibility. Casey does the laundry. You know what makes her happy? When I cross over into the laundry. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying it happens a lot. I'm saving you, Lupe. I'm saving you. It doesn't happen a lot. Oh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, protect Lupe tonight as he sleeps with no covers on the couch. And that might be a normal place for him. I love you. No, you don't. But when truly, like when we cross over and like we do things for each other that usually are roles, we lay down those roles and we just go across the line. Man, I'm more attractive in her eyes than ever before, you know? And when she comes over and she does things in the kitchen, right? And she puts up like the dish that I don't want to put them up. How many of you feel me? How many like look at a dishwasher and just like, you're going to stay right there. We're going to use you anyways. We're going to pick up that cup. Hey, you want a clean cup? Get in the dishwasher. Who does it? Be honest. Thank you for your honesty. All the anal people are like, oh my God, we're never going to their house. But man, there's something about it. She's never more attractive than when we cross over. And I would just say this. Consider this week about laying down your rights, just like Jesus laid down his. And consider someone else above yourself. And instead of the others being those that you don't know, make it the ones that you do. See, we are our own superstar in our own movie. You are the main attraction in your movie. You are. You're the lead character. But in every movie, with the exception of like Castaway, he even had the what was his name? Wilson. There's always a supporting cast. A supporting cast is very important to the plot of the movie. And I would just ask this week for you to consider your supporting cast. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's a brother, a sister. Maybe it's a mom, it's a dad. Consider others. You got a lot of extras in your life too, right? Do you need extras? How many of you have ever been an extra on a movie? How many? Anybody? Yeah, one. That's awesome. Which movie? What? Did you see him in it? Because I don't watch movies. Tell me what a movie's like. Is it? Did you pause it and like take a picture? That's awesome. It's important to have extras in a movie, right? But I would challenge you with this. Start with the supporting cast and consider them better than yourself this week. maybe even tonight, then go out to the extras. Go out to your coworkers, but start at home. It's hardest to love the people you love the most. A lot of things happen in life. But just like I put up one 400-pound arm and another 400-pound arm, in one moment, Christ can do an attitude adjustment in us, and it can change everything. And my outlook is not, oh, man, we're going to be doing this forever. My outlook is, God, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that you're Lord. And I took that, and I took some liberty, and I said, every cilia in Peyton's body must start to bow before your name, and everything must start to move according to your word. God, I know you can. I'm not entitled to this, but as a child of God, maybe I am. And I'm going to pray like it happens and like it's going to happen today, because I believe that it can happen. He changed my attitude in one moment. I want you to stand. Let's pray tonight. It's 8:10. Are y'all okay with 10 minutes past? We're still in summer. I just feel like I want to pray for some people tonight. You're here tonight, and some of that resonated. Maybe not all of it, because I was a little random. But you're here tonight, and I'm not saying you need an attitude adjustment, but you just need Jesus. You just need Jesus in this moment to change some things. If that's you tonight, I just want you to slip up your hand real quick. Yeah. Can I ask this? Tom, do you have any instrumental stuff in the back? Just no words? You know me. I like music. And I feel a lot better praying for people when there's music in the background. Maybe Julia can, like, play a little guitar. Or you feel comfortable with that? Okay. Now it's getting real awkward. Y'all like, oh, God, where are we going? You can run. Come on. I'm joking. It's been a while. I'm going to wait for that first drum. Pastor Fowler's like, can you get on with this? I saw it in his face. Young Buck, you better move on. I want those of you that need prayer, I want you to come to the altar. Just step out. We're family. Can we do this as family? Just come. You raised your hand or you didn't raise your hand. I don't really care. Yeah, I'll pull you out too if you need to be prayed for. I'm going to ask now and ask some saints to come stand behind. Ask some folks that have some scars and you ain't perfect to stand behind. And I want you to just lift your hands right here, those of you that are in this altar. I just want you to lift your hands. It may be heavy, but I want you to lift them to the Lord. And I want you just in your own way to start worshiping. And I want you to start proclaiming how good our God is. And those of you that are behind praying and those of you that are in the seats, I want you to extend your hands and I want you to start praying. Because I feel like God is wanting to do something right here, right now, that changes eternity, that changes everything, that moves us to a place that we are energized. There are those of you in this altar right now that have lost energy. You have none. You have nothing to give. At the end of a day, at the end of a work, you have nothing left. You've given it all because you had none to give. Father God, I just lift up this couple to you. Father, right here.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org. or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.